So we're starting a book, capital E, Prime, December 26, 1995, and ending October 17th, the following year. So quite a long time in one book. Yeah. Boxing Day, December 26th, preparative gels. Following up on the work that was going on. PCR screen, Tuesday, January 2nd. And Saturday, January 6th, page 13, a note that there was a big snow for North Carolina on that day. But I came to work. Nothing particularly remarkable. I just slogging away at making various concepts. But I get a nice trip to Japan there between January 16th and the next entry is February 5th, and a note back from six talks, two in the US and four in Japan, and vacation with Nobuyo in Sendai, her hometown, with her sister. Sisters. KH21 nailed up on this page, duplicating the nail gene with a LOXP site between the two copies. Use of a different strain bacteria, K802 Rec A minus, 4 E prime 30 mini number 8. And something is very wrong. Conclusion on page 36. Restarting the ATR-1A duplication, Wednesday, February 21st. With various plans. Usual site changes, Bagel 2 to ASCII 1. Removing ATG in Dukedale, following a thought on previous page. Going back to page 39, Thursday, February 15, on K802 Rec 8 minus transformation with E prime at 31 ligation with a comment that the concluded still no good. The only stable insert is in number 14, etc. Abandon this project. That's enough work on it for now. Stop thinking about it. Changing Bagel 2 to ASCII 1 in Dugdell on page 43. unfortunately, can't prevent getting an ATG start signal at the end of Dugdell, because part of ASCII 1, when it's next to the Locks B site. So decided on Monday, February 26th, to remake Dugdell without any ATGs before continuing. I didn't want to have starts of translation somewhere that I didn't understand. And so then we get to page 49, Wednesday, February 28th, removal of ATG in Dugdell. So the two lock sequences both have ATG in the anti-nail and anti-locks directions. Can't remove these. Best scheme seems to be to treat Dugdell as a cloning vector and excise RSR1, so finding ways around this sort of problem. Modifying Dugdell on page 51, Thursday, February 29th. Did a lot of work on Dugdell, had various forms of it. It was a very useful vector and was modified many times. Continuing to go on, and here we are back to PLE7 again on Tuesday, March 5th, page 59. Sunday, March 10th. Page 63, redesigning to avoid Polley. Decided that the experiment is too complex to risk AATAAA versus AATAAA Polley addition site. So that wasn't a correct addition site. Polley addition site. So a computer simulation, etc., replace this and that, and see what it looks like. Take Dugdell That was just seeing if it would work, just doing the digest and imagining the pieces. So, that's on page 65, Dugdale with RSR, BAM, cut. I remember that, doing those experiments, vaguely, with RSR 1. It was useful because it was the only site, only single site in Dugdale. And a rather unusual site too. That's RSR 2. So more thoughts on the AGTR 1A duplication, with some added comments on page 70. Masaki's clone, B prime 145, and etc. How to go. Various sorts of what to make. Having some sort of a thinking of having a diagram, been reading about Feynman's work and Feynman diagrams. I wanted to make a Smithies diagram. Something like the following will be needed: Sunday, March 17th, page 73. To sort of think about how the genes were changing their expression, as I've tried earlier. On page 72 there was a diagram of that sort that I was thinking of, starting with the copies of AGT reading T1 ACE, angiotensin 2 receptor, angiotensin 2 receptor, all the steps, angiotensinogen being acted on by renin to give AT1, being acted on by ACE to give AT2, which combines with the receptor ATR1A, bound receptor, and changing the blood pressure level. And with a little note there that is hidden away, ACE, the bradykinin level is altered. This is really quite an important note that we had come to the conclusion from thinking about KM, and work of other people, that changing the level of ACE would not change the level of angiotensin 2. The logic was fairly straightforward, but had been we hadn't realized it for quite a long time, and that is that if you have a steady state system with short half-lives, as you have going from angiotensinogen cup with renin to give angiotensin 1, which is rapidly converted to angiotensin 2, and the half-lives of angiotensin 1 and 2 are short, and the half-life and therefore the concentrations are steady state concentrations, and they began to realize that if you increase the amount of, if for example you decrease the amount of ACE, that what will happen is that angiotensin 1 level will rise. And if you're not saturated in the KM, that when angiotensin 1 rises, the conversion to angiotensin 2 is returned to normal, with the following sort of thought, that 1 times the ACE level leads to a certain amount of ACE 2 and a certain amount of angiotensin 2 and a certain amount of angiotensin 1. If you have the ACE, then the angiotensin 1 level will rise and not angiotensin 2. It backs up. And when it gets to twice the level, so twice the level of angiotensin 1 times one half the level of angiotensin, of ACE converting enzyme, is the same as 1 times 1. So ACE does not affect the concentration of angiotensin 2, but it does affect the concentration of angiotensin of bradykinin, because bradykinin is a substrate of ACE and angiotensin 2 is a product. So the product of ACE doesn't change when the level of ACE changes, but the product, but the concentration of the substrate changes. So bradykinin will increase when ACE decreases, because bradykinin is broken down by ACE just the same way as angiotensin 1 is broken down, 2 amino acids clipped off by ACE. So here is the logic behind that little statement on page 72, that the bradykinin level will be altered by ACE. And then beginning to try to think of ways of showing this sort of progressive system, as I call them, reading the angiotensin system path diagrams. Showing what I thought would happen with ACE1-0 and what would happen with angiotensin-1-0. So on page 75, Sunday, March 24th. So that when ACE went down to 0 or to 1 copy, and the level of angiotensin 2 would not fall, but the level of angiotensin 1 would rise. If it was angiotensinogen, everything would stay low. Beginning of trying to get a logical way of looking at the whole system. So this rather poor description I made of the effect of ACE levels is written down more clearly on page 77, Sunday, April 7th. ACE 1 copy will show an increase in angiotensin 1 due to less usage by half ACE, compare a decrease in angiotensin angiotensinogen in the angiotensinogen 1-0 copies due to greater usage by increased renin. So that the level of angiotensinogen in the 1 copy angiotensinogen animal is less than 50%, it's 35%, because renin has gone up and more is being used by renin. So we'll need to use the concentration in terms of fractional KMs. And think of binding constants to get a true pattern on page 77, Sunday, April 7. Thinking about renin release more on Thursday, April 25th, the next page, 79. He was looking at reading mRNA in Enos minus minus mice, Ed Sheasley's minus minus mice, Enos. June 3rd, there is a block there because not a big one. April 25th, and then a next entry is Monday, June the 3rd, with a little comment letter. Hypertension, competitive renewal, approximately complete. So I'm back to the lab again. And some involvement of Randy Thresher in the lab, talking about making and testing methylated DNA, etc., for increasing homologous recombination. So still thinking about increasing. The test will be Delta H PRT locus, usual correcting vector. And try to see if methylation would make any difference. Not immediately clear what was happening, but several pages of thinking. Page 83 and 82. Trying to modify the end of the construct to alter recombination. On page 87, Wednesday, June 5th, the possibility of adding a base there, N6 hexylamine. Going to try cross-linking. I'm better getting into difficulties, and on page 89 I have the big letters abandoned. Hyung-Suk Kim has a better scheme. With a spacer. Still trying to put a tail on the end to add something to the five-prime end or to the end of the construct. A hexylamino being the idea to put on that end, or a Melido side chain again in the same position. I'll go back and see what this rationale was. Thursday, June 6th, page 91, more thoughts of adding a hexylamino a side chain to cut a targeting construct. The logic of this is I don't any longer remember, and it's probably not worth trying to decipher, because these experiments were in any case all negative, but they were a continuation of the long dream of increasing homologous recombination one way or another. And so we go on with that, and we'll leave the topic. A rather more interesting thought on Thursday, June 13th, page 97, a nuclear localizer peptide. Deciders assess whether a nuclear localizing peptide put in the right place might increase the frequency of homologous recombination by directing the DNA to the nucleus. Rather interesting thought. I think it was negative again, but we see. Monday, June 17th, Nancy's birthday, page 99. Nuclear localization DNA into the ECOR1 site is being attempted. Another thought on page 101, Friday, June 21st, is Randy Fresher's idea, can use the reverse reaction, thiol coupling, if ECOR1SH is not accessible. To couple a restriction enzyme to the DNA is, I think, the motivation, although at the bottom of the page, Tuesday, July 30th, it said it decided to stop its work, at least temporarily, and return to the duplication of coding regions. And that is the thought on the next page, 103, Wednesday, July 31st, coding duplications. Possibility that seems worth exploring is to use a more sophisticated construct for allowing two sequences to both be translated. mRNA start AUG, stop translation, restart translation, and poly. In other words, an internal Kodak sequence and internal ribosome entry site of the type described in a couple of references. So internal ribosomal entry site was the thought now between two copies of the gene. So here is that scheme drawn out more fully on Wednesday, August 7th, page 105, AGTR. A 1A duplication with the possibility of having an internal ribosomal entry site to allow better expression of the gene. And this being pursued to make this construct on page 107. Tupdel trying to put in P-H-A-M-A-I-R-E-S, internal ribosomal entry site. Here is what became an eventually quite useful idea, a Dup-Cardis sequence. On Friday, August 9th, the idea being to be able to test whether have two coding sequences to increase expression. And looking at the IRES insert on page 111. Inserting linkers, etc. Removing sites as we go through the pages. Then a beginning of a new thought here, which turned out to be very important. So let's just review the situation. Thursday, August 22nd, page 125, my page of the notebook is talking about a linker insertion into the NAO-IRES plasmid. But attached to that page, on the opposite page, 124, is an important letter that was involved in my beginning to make models, computer models of the system, which were very revealing. So on August 22nd, I wrote a letter to Marshall Edgell with my various ideas up to that point. It starts off, the following two diagrams summarize my view of the renin-angiotensin system, which is generally acknowledged to be one of the most important, perhaps the most important means of controlling blood pressure. And in the it talks about angiotensinogen and the difficulties of modeling this system. My path diagram idea near the end of this letter to him, complex diagram of the sort that I talked about before, where we start with the level of angiotensinogen and then the renin response. And then what's the angiotensin 1 level, what's the ACE level, what's the angiotensin 2 level, the receptor, the ligated receptor, ligated receptor to the angiotensin 2, and the effector response, etc. And a diagram for angiotensinogen 1 copy, and saying that this is a flow or path diagram for a heterozygous plus minus AGT gene disruption. And what I'm asking Marshall for is his help in making that. The letter doesn't appear, oddly enough, to be complete. Let me just see. Because it starts to say what's happening, but there is no conclusion to this letter. But I know what the conclusion was. I asked him for his help. Yes, I don't know why it's been lost. The page has been lost here, unfortunately, and having the transcript.
It's not on the back, is it?
No, it's not on the back, Jenny. Oh, yes, it is. On the back, the letter has is double-sided, and the back page is there. And so it goes on about these things, asking, really, whether he can help. Is there any way of modelling this sort of system? I must have talked to him about it earlier. The letter is not really quite explicit enough, but the idea is very straightforward. I thought that Marshall could help me because of his computer experience and modelling. He could help me develop a computer simulation of the system. And so that letter was written on August 22nd. But I'm still experimenting on the following days. as we see with several pages going on in this general way. August 28th, for example, page 133, removing a Nazi one site from Dukdell. And rescue of the Esky deletion on page 137. And more diagrams of the OS DUP card on page 139, Sunday, September 22nd. And continuing to experiment. With the idea that on page 145, that a gene might be what I've been calling a virtual gene to an actual gene. For example, data from Kurt Sigmund's lab shows that renin, angiotensin plus animals etc. And that's Ren-A plus animals. The logic of this page is a little bit difficult. The comment is it suggests that renin compensation in RA plus is already maxed out, and so that the angiotensin 2 effects, angiotensinogen effects, are easier to see. Query therefore, would it be worthwhile to generate a mouse in which all the renin regulation is absent, but renin is present? So that actually is the beginning of an idea that turned out to be very productive. In other words, to make an animal where renin is controlled by promoters, etc., which are not responsive to regulation. So it would be a renin mini pump gene, as it were, a gene which would produce renin at a constant rate. And that was later on, that idea was later developed with Kathleen Caron to make a renin gene in the albumin, driven by the albumin promoter. That's sometime in the future. It's not as far back as this, but there is the seed of the idea in my head. Expect to get constant expression in the liver, free from renin feedback. Any type 2 gene, a type 2 gene being a gene which has an effect on blood pressure but is regulated. So making animals in which an important component of the system was constant and could not be altered by physiological feedback. Which we did eventually use. more on this general business of renewing homeostasis, Thursday, October 10th, page 149, with some comments on what Kim had found, that the adrenal and submandibular renin mRNA has greatly increased in male F1s because of the REN2 gene, because mice have a REN1 and a REN2 gene, which caused some difficulties at various times. But the experiments went on Thursday, October 10th, and Friday, October 11th, step one and step two in making the next part of card work. Preparative gel, October 11th, and more experiments of the same type on October 11th and October 17th with the IRA, with the internal ribosomal entry site, IRES, on page 159, Thursday, October 17th, just on with making these things. And the book ends on Monday, October 21st, with the prep gel. Good run and a good cut. Quite a nice way to end the book. E prime.